Right, so today we are talking about mainly one agenda paper two, which is the discussion of the definition of a lease. And Nicolette, am I handing over to you?
Yes. Thank you, Sue, and good afternoon, committee members. Agenda paper two analyses comments on the tentative agenda decision about whether the customer has the right to direct the use of a ship throughout the term of the contract. The committee received 13 comment letters. 9 respondents agreed with the committee's tentative agenda decision for the reasons outlined in the tentative agenda decision itself, and 4 respondents disagreed. Paragraphs 7 to 36 discuss respondents' comments together with our analysis and recommendations. We wish to note that the paper refers incorrectly to the Accounting Standards Board of India in paragraph 8. The reference should be to the Accounting Standards Board of the Institute of Chartered Accountants of India. Based on our analysis, we recommend finalising the agenda decision with some changes. We refer you to Agenda Paper 2A that sets out the proposed changes in addition to those in Appendix A of Agenda Paper 2. I will now ask whether you agree with our recommendation to finalise the agenda decision as set out in Agenda Paper 2A.
Okay, so does anybody want to comment on the staff analysis or recommendations? Is there anybody in the room? Nobody's twitching? Okay, anybody on the screen? Bob, we'll start with you.
Yeah, thanks, Sue. I agree with the staff recommendation to finalize. I just have one edit. In paper 2A, at the top of page 3, in that paragraph, there was a new sentence that was added. Not sure that sentence is necessary, but even if it is, I would place it at the end of the paragraph because I think it's breaking up two thoughts that should be put together. In the sentence before, it talks about the most relevant decisions, and then the sentence after that says decision-making rights are relevant when they affect the economic benefits. I think those two put together. And so then you can move that sentence that was added to the end of that.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. So I should have mentioned that we do have paper 2A, which is reflecting some drafting suggestions we received in advance of the meeting. You were breaking up a little bit, Bob, but I think you were saying that on the first, the paragraph at the top of page 3 of agenda paper 2A, the new sentence that is added near the end of that paragraph, which starts, an entity does not consider decisions. You think we could live without it, but your suggestion would be that if we keep it, that it comes as the last sentence in that paragraph to make the flow work a bit better. I think from a staff perspective, they thought that was a good suggestion. Any other comments? Guy?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I also agree with the analysis and with the drafting suggestions in paper 2A. On top of those that were in the appendix of paper 2, regarding the paragraph referencing B25 in the standard, I personally think the addition of that paragraph, I thought it added there around the assessment. Most relevant comes into play with respect to decisions that are not predetermined, and therefore I felt that the addition of B29 helped to emphasize that point. Whether we put that sentence where it is currently in paper 2A or move it to the end of that particular paragraph, I think I'm largely different. The two sentences that are speaking to us, B25, but overall I liked the inclusion of that concept in that particular paragraph.
Okay, thank you, Guy. So you were cutting out a little bit, but I think you're saying you like the additions. to that paragraph that we were talking about at the top of page 3 of Agenda Paper 2A, that you would be indifferent if we were to move that new sentence to the end of the paragraph as suggested by Bob. Is that fair?
That's correct. Thank you.
Thank you. Goro next, and then Young Su. So, Goro?
So, thank you very much. I was one of the strongest opponents against this proposal in September, but now I think I can accept that the new agenda, the wording of the wording of this new agenda decision. I thought that the former agenda decision proposal was too prescriptive for the customers to exercise its judgment in determining if the contract would include the lease or not. However, the new staff analysis in the paragraph 17 and 18 of the agenda paper 2 appear to suggest that the customer has already exercised this judgment before deciding whether its decision making rights are at the most relevant point. I think that this wording, this new agenda decision proposal reflects this analysis and clearly indicates that the customer has indeed exercised his or her judgment. Accordingly, I think I have no reason to keep objecting. I am now ready to agree with the new staff analysis and proposal. It supports the finalization of the decision as proposed in this paper. Actually, that I accept that the Bob's and the guide proposal as well.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you, Goro. Young Su?
Okay, thank you. I have to say that I agree with all the staff responses to the comment items, but I still have a concern, and my concern is still the same as I had in the last meeting. My concern is whether the decision-making right is big enough to report in the financial statement. And I think the decision-making right of vast economic benefits of the customer. But I think the economic benefits that affected the customer is not big enough. As I said in the last meeting, the customer is not going to make that kind of decision making very often or frequently. Instead, the decision making is going to be made very infrequently. The decision making is going to be exercised only in some exceptional situations, such that the coal provider is unable to deliver the produced planned amount of coal. So what I'm trying to say is that if we just go on to this agenda decision, there will be a contract with a very small tiny benefit for customer, but that contract will produce a huge amount of assets and liabilities on the financial statements. And I think that can discard the information users. Information users will see a huge amount of assets and liabilities. And my feedback on this from that, recently the assets and liabilities would be big, would have a huge impact on the economic benefits of the customer, which is not in this case. So what I'm trying to say is that I agree with the staff analysis, but I still am not quite agree with the conclusion of the agenda decision.
Okay.
That's what I want to say.
Just to be clear, Young Su, and that's the case even though B25 of IFRS 16 says that decision-making rights are relevant when they affect the economic benefits to be derived from use, and the assumption and the fact pattern is that that determination has been made. So despite that, you still...
Yeah, I understand. Yes. Still, I don't agree.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Young Su. Anybody else want to add anything? Lisa?
I mean, based on those comments, and one of the things I had was in looking back to the original fact pattern, is maybe to clarify on, I guess, point C, if we possibly said that it is assumed the customer has determined, and maybe that kind of addresses some of the points that it is in this fact pattern, we're saying the customer, it is assumed that the customer has determined that those remaining decision-making rights are relevant because they affect the economic benefits to be derived. But that makes it very clear that we had a fact pattern that you look at it, you analyze it, you determine, if those decisions give you economic benefits, and then that's how you should apply this in practice.
Okay. I think that's what we already mean in the sense that we say in the fact pattern described in the request, blah, 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 and then C says the customer has determined.
Yeah, and I think it's just not, it's not clear when you go back to the original fact pattern that the customer has determined that. I mean, that there's the information in there, but it is in the, it is in our tentative decision that we put out that we said that that was the key, I guess, assumption that went into that analysis. But I think if you go back to the actual fact pattern, it's difficult to pull that out that the customer actually concluded in that fact pattern.
Does anybody else have any comments that they want to add? Anybody on the phone? Sorry, I'll come back to you, Bonnie. Anybody on the phone? No? Bonnie.
Some of the concerns have been discussed with the director have been a little bit mitigated. I do agree with the conclusion. I think one of the comments, and I think it was in the Petro, where it's kind of where it's like that, says, making sure that we allow companies to have been applying, and I want to make sure that we write in an agenda decision does not essentially give more guidance than what's in the standard itself. I think it's extremely helpful that the agenda decision walks through and quotes specific pieces of IFRS and how they've been interpreted here. However, I still want to make sure that it's clear we are interpreting based on the facts that we're given. I do like Lisa's suggestion that it is assumed, because I do think that is a critical fact in how we analyzed the guidance and coming to the conclusion that also leaves here. So I want to make sure that it's clear that we're interpreting it based on the fact that we can. If there are slightly different facts, we can apply judgment, and you could get to a different answer.
I agree with you. I think the only slight hesitation I have with adjusting the words that we've got in the draft agenda decision is that, and it's the reason why I made the point I did to Young Soo, B25 of IFRS 16 just says that the decision-making rights are relevant if they affect the economic benefits. And I don't want to sort of imply that you can sort of step back and decide whether you think it's sort of relevant enough, because all you have to do is make that assessment. And so I actually, even though I agree with you, that is the thing they have to determine, and it will be based on the facts and circumstances. So different facts and circumstances, you definitely could reach a different determination. I want it to be very clear that that's the question they need to answer, which is why I actually quite liked the words that we had in here personally.
And again, I'm not suggesting we step away from what is written in the standards. And I think it's very helpful that we quoted from the standards and used those specifically. I do think it's important that it is assumed, based on information and the fact pattern, that the customer has determined that the remaining rights are relevant. Because I agree with you, Sue, that's the question at hand.
I mean, what we could do, which I think would address your point and make it more clear without changing too much the substance of what's in here, would be to add in paragraph C at the beginning of that sentence, which at the moment says the customer has determined, we could add in the words based on the facts the customer has determined, that those remaining decision-making rights are relevant. So it ties it back very specifically to the fact that it was based on the facts. Would that help?
I would prefer to say based on the fact pattern submitted to refer directly back to what we got.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
In the fact pattern submitted?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. In the fact pattern submitted. It's repetitive, but I'm happy to do that if it makes it more clear to read. Okay, not that it's my decision, of course, but